It's the Week 12 College Football Picks Against the Spread show from Winning Cures Everything. We go through all the off-the-radar games each week. So, let's go ahead and dive into it.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I am your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. These are the games that I do not discuss on the BetUS College Football Show. There's a link in the description below, and you can find that show. It's every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. But we go through very quickly, brief rundowns on each game and which way I would pick. So let's go ahead and jump into game number one. Northwestern is hosting Ohio State. The current spread on this is Ohio State favored by 28.5 on the road. This one's at Wrigley Field, so going to be kind of windy. We got a total of 43.5 here. Whenever there is a low total, and this one has come down, it's was it 45.5, 46.5, whatever it was, and it's down to 43.5. Whenever you have a low total with a really big point spread, typically that goes towards the dog. So you want to make sure, obviously, Northwestern's not very good, as you can see on your screen here. The implied score from the sportsbook is 38.5-7. My implied score is 41-9. So not a huge difference there, but it basically would say that my number's got this thing going over the total. So I've got Ohio State by 31.8. My spread based on the last 4 weeks has got Ohio State minus 25. Yeah, that sounds about right. Ohio State's defense is really good. Northwestern's offense has been hit or miss for most of the season. I like the Lausch kid, the quarterback there. However, I don't know what he's really going to be able to do in this situation. If you look at the defense, Northwestern's defense is really good at stopping the run, which is, you know, one of the bell cows. Ohio State is pretty good at doing both, throwing and passing. But when you look at this, I don't see a lot of reasons why Northwestern would be able to hang around in this game other than the fact that next week Ohio State has to play against Indiana. So this is a potential look-ahead spot. I don't think they're too concerned about running up the score here. So when you've got a game where it is, you know, it's already come down 3 points because it opened at 31.5. It's down to 28.5 right now. Anything over the four touchdowns, I kind of think I'm just going to stick with Northwestern. I think their offense will be able to pull off something. Special teams is that's in Ohio State's favor. The penalties, that's Ohio State's favor. Turnovers pretty much dead even. I just think this is going to be a get out of Dodge without getting anybody hurt kind of game for Ohio State. So I'm going to take Northwestern plus the 28.5 on that one. On to the next spot, Arkansas hosting Texas. Arkansas currently a 13.5-point home dog with a total of 57.5 on this one. As you can see, my number for the full season has got Texas favored by 15.5. The number has come down. It was Texas minus 16.5. It's down to 13.5. So, potentially a little bit of value for us on this one, which is nice. We don't always get that. So, my number based on the last 4 weeks has got Texas by about 4.78. So Texas not as good lately, although that's taking out garbage time, et cetera, and there was a lot of garbage time against Florida. I know that because they got up on them early and did not let off the gas, but of course Florida was playing a third-string quarterback. Is Talen Green going to be fully healthy? That's the question for Arkansas. Nobody seems to have the answer for that, but it is what it is. Offensive success rate, Arkansas is number 18. Texas defense is number 11. This Texas defense is really, really good. They're number 3 in the country in defensive PPA allowed per drive. You start looking into points per scoring opportunity, etc. Texas does not allow teams to score once they get inside of their 40-yard line. On the other side of the ball, you know, this Arkansas defense is number 33 in points per scoring opportunity allowed, and the Texas offense is number 21 in points per scoring opportunity. So Texas has kind of cleaned up their red zone stuff a little bit. They're number 22 in offensive red zone touchdown rate. The defensive red zone touchdown rate for Arkansas is 48th. Could be a bit better. The problem is that Arkansas can't really stop the pass. They're number 112 in PPA allowed per pass, number 116 in QBR allowed. Whichever quarterback it is, whether it's Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning, whoever, they are going to be able to sling the rock around. Texas special teams, number 116. That is where things could get tricky because Arkansas is number 44 there. Both teams bad in penalties per game. Both teams terrible at giving the ball away, but Texas can at least generate turnovers. Since this thing has dropped below 13.5, I'm going to go the other way with Texas. I think they'll be able to handle things here. So give me Texas to cover there. Let's go to the ACC, and Clemson visits Pitt. Right now, Clemson is a 10.5-point favorite in this one. A little bit shocking considering the numbers that I've got, but my numbers have been in love with Pitt all season, and I don't fully know why, but alas, we'll just roll through it. I've got Clemson -4 in the game. I've got Clemson -7.76 based on the last 4 weeks. The ESPN strength of record still fits pretty well for Pitt, even though they did lose to Virginia last week. The offense just has not been very good. Their current strength of schedule is number 80. Clemson is number 52, so Clemson at least looking a little bit better. This is a tricky spot here. The Pitt defense has actually gotten a lot better. Let's take a look at that. The Pitt special teams, by the way, number 9, Clemson number 124, so that is something to pay attention to, whether it is kick returns, field goals, blocked kicks, those kind of things add up 2 points as well. So the Pitt defense, number 22 in PPA allowed per rush. Clemson's offense is number 11 in that. That's what they tend to do best, even though they don't do it the most. So they throw the ball 53.75% of the time. That's 37th the most in the country. The Pitt defense is decent at stopping the pass. They're number 22 in havoc rate created. So they can get after it a little bit. I think that's what keeps them in this game, right? You're looking at Pitt number 26 in 5 factors plus talent rank. Clemson only number 14. I think these two teams are relatively close. This one's at home for Pitt. I think the number's gotten a little too big. This is easy for me. I'm going to take Pitt plus the 10.5. I think they could. Maybe last week was a bit of a look-ahead spot. Next one up, Louisiana Monroe goes to Auburn. And Auburn currently is a 23.5-point home favorite, total of 46.5 on this. And, you know, my numbers got Auburn by 15.5. Louisiana Monroe is 5-4. They opened up the season 5-1, so they have not looked very good as of late. However, neither has Auburn. My last 4 weeks, I've only got Auburn favored by 11 points in the spot. Power rating-wise, I mean, it's not even close. I've got Auburn number 47. I've got Louisiana Monroe number 112. But this is one of those games where Auburn has Texas A&M coming up. Do they want to? They're starting to look at like playing Hank Brown potentially at quarterback this weekend. There's all kinds of things that they could end up doing. What Auburn does the best is they throw the ball. Number 14 in yards per attempt, number 20 in QBR. Well, Louisiana Monroe's defense is good at stopping the pass. They're number 20 in PPA allowed per pass, number 37 in yards per attempt, and number 23 in QBR allowed. Now, they've played the number 45 current strength of schedule. Auburn has played the number 32. So not too big of a difference there. On the other side, though, I don't know how Louisiana Monroe scores. Number 102 in PPA per pass, number 61 in PPA per rush. Auburn's defense is good in both spots. Number 6 PPA allowed per rush, number 46 in PPA per pass. The talent gap is just monstrous. Auburn is number 18 and Louisiana Monroe is number 130. This, talent-wise, this feels like the kind of game that Auburn should just handle things. And so, as a matter of fact, I found a 24 out there. I had put that on here. But the more that I think about it, this is the kind of game that Hugh Freeze wants to not let happen what happened against New Mexico State last year. I think that they might run up the score a little bit, might try and make, you know, it typically they've been turning the ball over. I don't think they're going to do that here. Give me Auburn minus the 23.5. I think Auburn kind of runs it up here. They need some good things to happen, most certainly. All right, carrying on, let's see what we've got here. And we move to the Sun Belt. And in the Sun Belt, Marshall hosts Coastal Carolina. Marshall currently an 8.5-point favorite here, total of 56.5. That one has come down from 9.5. So, my numbers on this, I've got Marshall by 8.2 for the full season. I've got Marshall minus 10.5 based on the last 4 weeks. Coastal did get a big win last week against App State. However, they're still, I mean, they're not good on defense, like, whatsoever. And Marshall is going to be able to run the ball all over these guys. Marshall is number 11 in yards per rush. The Coastal defense is number 107 in that metric. Marshall number 25 PPA per rush. Coastal number 97 there. On the other side, Coastal might be able to run the ball some on these guys, but Marshall not as bad on defense as Coastal is. If you just look overall, Coastal number 105 in defensive predicted points added allowed per drive. On the other side, Marshall number 67 on offense, number 58 on defense as far as PPA per drive. So I look at this, like the success rate, et cetera. I think that Marshall's going to be able to hold on to the football, stay ahead of the chains. They are number 23 in standard downs PPA. So that's first and 10, second and 7, third and 3, stuff like that, where they are really good in those spots. I think they can stay ahead of the chains there. And even if they don't, I don't know that Coastal can do much about it, to be completely honest. Coastal might be able to score some. I don't think it's going to be very much. This game being at Marshall, I expect big things out of Charles Huff's team. Give me Marshall to cover the 8.5 at home here. I feel good about them. All right. Let me tell you right quick about Ghostleaves, one of our sponsors here. The best kinesiology technology on the market. They are so good. So good. And I can't even begin to tell you how awesome they are, right? For all of your aches and pains, your joints, etc., highly recommend it. Ghostleaves.com/WCE. These kinesiology compression sleeves, I believe that's what they're called. It helps your elbows. It helps your knees. It helps your ankles. They've got sleeves. They've got shirts. They've got socks. They've got all kind of stuff. And you can save 15% by using that promo code WCE. So go and check it out. Ghostleaves.com/WCE. The best kinesiology technology on the market. Along with that, if you like these sheets that we're doing, that we're showing on here, you can get them at bettingcfb.com. You sign up as a member over there, $5 a month, $50 for the year. And of course, I do plenty of bonus content as well over there, bettingcfb.com. And there's a link in the description if you would like to do that as well.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right. Now, let's continue on. Our next game. Illinois hosts Michigan State. Currently, Illinois a 2.5-point home favorite, total of 47.5 on this one. And my number on this is Illinois -7.17. Michigan State, I've got favored by 1.5 just based on the last 4 week stats. This is an interesting spot. I feel like Michigan State is playing better. Illinois certainly has gone through it here lately. This Illinois defensive success rate just surprises me. Number 123, they're number 104 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. I still believe in this Illinois offense. In, you know, Barry Lunney, I believe, is going to be able to, I think they're going to be able to throw the football. Let's say that. Luke Ottmeyer, I think, is good. He's got enough weapons. And against a defense in Michigan State that's number 104 in PPA allowed per pass, it just so happens to match up that Illinois' strength on offense goes against the weakest part of the Michigan State defense. Now, on the other side, both these teams are really good in special teams, by the way. But on the other side, Illinois' defense better at stopping the pass. Well, that's the thing that Michigan State seems to do the best at. They're number 29 in yards per attempt. They're number 55 in PPA per pass, but they're number 83 in QBR, number 112 in passing success rate. Illinois' defense, number 59 in QBR allowed, number 58 in yards allowed per attempt, all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that the way that the game matches up, penalties per game, turnover margin, special teams, all of these things point to Illinois. I think that I'm going to go with Illinois to cover the 2.5 here. It seems to make more sense. There's a lot of love for Michigan State in the market, but I'm going the opposite direction. I think that Illinois gets this thing done. Now, over to the ACC, and Cal is going to host Syracuse. Currently, Cal is an 8.5-point home favorite, total of 55.5 on this one. And this has gone up. It was Cal -7.5 to open. It's out to 8.5 now. And this is another one of those spots where, you know, it seems like going cross-country probably isn't great for these kids, especially routinely. But, yeah, who are we to know? I've got Cal favored by 3. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, because of just the amount of turnovers, the defense for Syracuse, etc., I've got Cal favored by 27. About 27.75, so almost 28 points. I've got Cal by 4 touchdowns based on the last 4 weeks of stats. That is insane. Number 46 in PPA margin to number 86 for Syracuse. The Syracuse offense was clicking along perfectly fine, and they've not been good in a little while. Cal, as far as turnovers go, they're number 4 in the country in takeaways per game. Syracuse is number 94 in giveaways per game. This is not a good spot for Syracuse. So I initially thought that, man, this number is just getting up there a little too much. It is what it is. And you don't really like laying points with Cal. And yet, I think that's what I'm going to do. I had it written down that I was going to do Syracuse -9.5. But there's Cal 8.5s out there. And that's my... I think that's the smart play, because if you think of the travel, you think of all the games that Syracuse has been through recently, it's a bit of a gauntlet. I think that Cal is just the significantly better team. I think that's the best way to look at it. So give me Cal -8.5 on that one. On to game number 8 here. And Penn State travels to West Lafayette to take on Purdue. And Penn State is a 28.5-point favorite. My number is Penn State -29.5 here. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Penn State -22. Purdue is really bad. Like, really, really bad. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Number 117 in PPA per pass on offense. That's going against Penn State's number 25 defense. Number 84 in PPA per rush. That's predicted points added per rush. Penn State is number 8 in that on defense. It is, on offense, Purdue certainly does not have any kind of advantage. But if you look on the other side of the ball, they don't really have an advantage there either. At Penn State, number 9 in PPA per pass. They only throw it 44% of the time, but Purdue is number 131 in PPA allowed per pass, number 133 in yards per attempt, number 129 in QBR allowed. Penn State is top 10 in all those metrics on offense. On the other side, Purdue number 116 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 134, dead last in PPA allowed per rush. Penn State's number 50 in PPA per rush, number 24 in yards per rush. This has all the makings of just a complete and utter blowout. And you could think, oh, Penn State probably has some bigger games coming up, et cetera. No, here's the thing. They lost that game to Ohio State. They know that their schedule is not very good. They need quality... what's the word? Quality wins. But really what they need is just some fancy-looking wins, some big wins. And against a team like Purdue, you want to make sure and put your boot on them quickly. And I think that's what they're going to do here. James Franklin, he does cover numbers. I expect them to be able to cover it here. So give me Penn State minus 28.5. Game number 9 to the SEC. Florida is going to host LSU. LSU currently a 4.5-point favorite. It's 4.5. It's 4.5. Okay. I had to think for a minute. 4.5-point favorite in Gainesville. Florida did not look good without DJ Lagway last week at Texas. Granted, they're back home. They're in the swamp. Things look good. My number has LSU by 4. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got LSU minus 3.8. So basically, 4 points. And yet, this thing is set at 4.5. I think Lagway is going to play this week. They sat him out last week, precautionary kind of stuff. Looks like the hamstring thing is not that serious. He'll try and play, but he's not. I bet he doesn't use his legs a whole lot. I'm going to think that he's just going to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. And luckily, he is capable of doing that. They can be explosive on offense. Can be. So, there's not a lot of metrics that would point you towards Florida being able to cover here other than, I guess, strength of schedule. Florida's played number 2. LSU's played number 7. But LSU just looked absolutely dreadful last week against Alabama. If Florida gets some things going with the running backs, and they can do that, they're number 34 in rushing success rate, number 74 PPA per rush, number 77 yards per rush. I think they're actually a little bit better as of late. Florida's got a special teams advantage. Both teams are top 12 as far as the 247 talent composite. This seems like a spot where Florida could hang in there. And these games are always close anyway between these two teams. People may not talk about it much, but these two teams do not like each other. The coaching staffs do not like each other. So I think Florida can hang around in this spot. I'll take the Gators. Yeah, Gators plus 4.5 on that. Game number 10. And we go to the ACC, where the Louisville Cardinals visit the Stanford Cardinal. It's a bit of a different thing here. But Louisville is favored by 20.5 on the road. Total of 57.5 on this. My number has Louisville by 20. So pretty close to a 20.5 number, isn't it? Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Louisville by 17.5. These Stanford numbers are not good. Number 129 in PPA margin. Louisville is 36th. But again, this is another one of those where you've got a team that's traveling through like 3 different time zones, and they just have not fared really well in those spots. Both of these teams have played a pretty tough current strength of schedule. Louisville is better at basically everything. The defense is number 63 in defensive success rate, number 86th in defensive PPA allowed per drive. Stanford isn't really good at anything. Like they're decent at stopping the run, but Louisville only runs the ball 42.78% of the time. I think that maybe the travel and the schedule spot and everything else might catch up to Louisville here. Stanford does have a special teams advantage, number 28 to number 113 for Louisville. I think the schedule spot catches up to them. I found a 21 at Caesars, looks like. So I don't feel great about it. I'm going to trust my numbers here, even though I can't find what the mismatch might be. But I'm going to take Stanford plus the 21 on this because, again, travel, schedule spot, does Louisville care? Stanford needs some wins. Stanford right now is 2-7 on the season. Louisville made it to bowl eligibility, but, you know, it is what it is. But there is a massive gap between these two. Number 113 to number 22, how much of an equalizer is travel? That's our question. So Stanford plus 21 for me on that. All right. You know that tickets are expensive. I've told you this every podcast for as long as I can remember, at least this season. But Ticket Smarter is a fantastic, maybe the best, third-party ticketing vendor on the market. I highly respect them. Every time I've used them, they are fantastic. Use the promo codes WCE10, that's WCE10, or WCE20. WCE10, that's going to get you $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20, going to get you $20 off an order of $300 or more. We have got all kind of playoff games, all kind of sports going on right now, and there's a bunch of concerts that are going on sale as we speak. Highly recommend it. Shane Gillis is touring in February. You know the tickets are going to be expensive for that. So get your tickets at Ticket Smarter. Do the smart thing. Think smarter with TicketSmarter.com or the mobile app. If you want to support the show, of course, I've already told you about Betting CFB, where you can get all these fancy spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. But you can also go to the WinningCuresEverything.com web store. We got all kind of stuff up over there. Just go check it out. See if there's something that you like. And let me know which logo that you guys like best. I'm particularly fond of this new one, but I would like to hear from you. So we carry on. We move to our next game, and we move to game number 11. That's right. We got 20 games today. Air Force hosts Oregon State, and boy, you were talking about two teams that are just not very good, aren't you? Air Force is getting better. They seem to be trending in the right direction, but either way, we'll talk about that in a second. Air Force is a 3.5-point home dog here, total of 45.5. And I've got Oregon State favored by 2.16. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Oregon State by about half a point. That's tight, ain't it? That is a tight one. Oregon State number 110 in PPA margin, Air Force number 117 in that. This Air Force offense cannot throw the football. They're number 134 in PPA per pass. And that is actually the weakness. Or no, sorry, the strength of the Oregon State defense. Oregon State's defense, number 126 in PPA allowed per rush, number 129 in yards per rush allowed. Air Force might be able to find some success here. They made a quarterback change. Things seem to be looking a little bit better for them than they were early on in the season. Neither of these teams are very good. They're outside the top 100 in special teams efficiency, so that's certainly not what you would hope from a service academy. On the other side, the Oregon State offense should be able to run the ball here, number 22 in PPA per rush. They're number 44 in yards per rush and number 25 in rush rate. So they do run the ball a significant amount of the time. 58% of their offensive snaps are actually rushing plays. And Air Force is number 109 in yards allowed per rush, number 71 in PPA allowed per rush. So that's the strength of the Air Force defense. I don't think you're going to see Oregon State try and throw the ball a lot. I look at this, there's a 4 out there, so there was a little bit of market movement on Oregon State, looks like. I'm going to take Air Force, plus the 4. At home, I think that they are just trending in a better direction than the Beavers right now. Just a thought. All right, so we move on to game number 12, and Nebraska visits USC this week, and the storylines are rampant on this one, right? We can look at the numbers that USC currently favored by 8.5. We got a total of 50.5 on this. I've got USC by 10.37. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got USC minus 22. The Nebraska offense has been just a joke. You've got Dylan Raiola back there, and you're number 99 in PPA per pass. You were number 83 in yards per attempt, number 95 in QBR. You should be better, which is why they demoted Marcus Satterfield, the offensive coordinator, who is now, from what I have seen on, Reddit or maybe a message board, I can't remember which, he is now the highest paid tight ends coach in the country, making $1.4 million. Dana Holgorsen, former Houston coach, former West Virginia coach, former Oklahoma State offense coordinator, all that good, blah, 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 blah. You get the point. But he is the new offense coordinator. He was hired as an analyst last week, slides right in, and is taking over the offense. And I trust him with a quarterback like Dylan Raiola. I think that they are going to be able to put up points here on this USC defense, who is surprisingly pretty good against the pass as far as overall, number 39 in PPA allowed per pass. But they are number 103 in passing success rate allowed, number 103 in passing explosiveness. Nebraska has enough weapons. They should be better. On the other side, this Nebraska defense, not very good against the pass, and USC has got a new quarterback, Jaden Maiva, who was at UNLV last year. Miller Moss gets benched. Now it's Maiva's team, at least for now. The best thing USC does is they run the ball, number 21 in PPA per rush, number 19 in yards per rush, and they only run it 38.5% of the time. Make it make sense. I bet you can't. I like Holgorsen. I like Raiola. Nebraska, I think, is desperate. When you got a caged animal here that is looking to get out, I think that Nebraska is going to find a way to win this game. Or at least be really, really close. So 8.5 is just an absurd number. And there's a 9 out there at ESPN Bet. Or Caesars. One or the other. There is a 9. So our bet on this, our pick is Nebraska plus the 9 on that one. On to game number 13, and we move to the Sun Belt. Old Dominion hosts James Madison, and James Madison, as we speak, is a 2.5-point road favorite. They opened 4.5, and there's been so much movement on Old Dominion that now that number has dropped down a couple of different spots. James Madison's current strength of schedule is number 129. That is a problem. Now, on the other side, Old Dominion is number 90. So these numbers look a lot better than maybe they should be, right? James Madison, number 20 in special teams efficiency. Old Dominion is number 85 on that. But both of these teams outside the top 100 as far as talent is concerned at 247. So when James Madison is on offense, they're going to try and run the ball most of the time. They are just better at running the football. We'll say that. Number 33 in PPA per rush, number 41 in yards per rush, and they're number 14 in rushing success rate. Old Dominion actually pretty decent at stopping the run. They're number 15 in rushing success allowed. But when it comes to offensive line yards, stuff like that, that is actually James Madison's bread and butter. On the other side, and so I think James Madison might have problems staying in front of the chains. We'll say that. They're number 82 in standard downs PPA. Old Dominion is pretty good on defense, like I said. On the other side, Old Dominion's offense, nothing to write home about, and this James Madison defense is legit. James Madison is number 1 in turnover margin. Old Dominion is number 84. They're number 121 in giveaways per game. I believe James Madison is going to be able to win this game. It's too much love for Old Dominion right now. And the fact that this number's gotten below a field goal, give me James Madison. Give me James Madison on this one. Let's go to the Big Ten. Maryland is hosting Rutgers, and boy, did we have some line movement here. This thing opened up, I believe, at Maryland -4, maybe -3.5. It got out to 4.5 when I did the sheet. Now this thing is all the way up to 5.5, and you can get a 6 in some spots. Rutgers looked pretty good against Minnesota last week, didn't they? I thought they did anyway. They still got all kind of problems on defense as far as injuries, etc. But this team's still all right. It's Shiano's bunch, and this was supposed to be a special year for them. They are currently sitting at 5-4. Maryland, if you don't win this one, it may be a little while before you win another one based on the schedule. I've got Maryland by 1.12 for the full season, but based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Maryland -4.85 or so. So just something to pay attention to. Let's look at the breakdowns here. Maryland number 90 in PPA margin, Rutgers number 107 in that. Where are the mismatches? The mismatches are third down attempts for the Maryland offense. Rutgers can't get off the field, it looks like. They're number 93 in third down conversion percentage allowed. It looks like Maryland is probably going to be able to stay on the field with this. Special teams efficiency, not too crazy. Number 77 versus 101. Turnover margin, both about equal. Penalties per game, Rutgers has a drastic advantage there. Rutgers is number one in penalty yards per game. Maryland is number 115. So you were looking at a 37-yard-per-game difference in penalty yards. Hidden yardage, that stuff matters. It show matters. On offense for Rutgers, I don't know how they run the ball on Maryland's defense. Maryland is number 29 in yards allowed per rush, number 27 in PPA per rush. Rutgers is number 96 in PPA per rush on offense, number 66 in yards per rush. That's what they want to do. They want to be a, they establish a run game. They can't finish drives. They're decent at third down percentages. I think Rutgers can keep this thing close. I think their defense can keep them in this game. I don't know why there's so much steam on Maryland, and I looked for injuries. I have not seen any. Monongai, the running back, like he's been questionable for a few weeks now, but I don't think it matters here. Give me Rutgers plus the 6 on this one. I feel like they, they're pretty good. I feel like Rutgers is okay. I don't know that they win the game, but 6 just feels like a lot of points here. Game number 15. San Jose State hosts Boise. And the Boise State Broncos are 13.5-point favorites on the road right now. Total of 61.5 on this. I've got Boise by 15. 15.16. And then if you look at the spread based on the last 4 weeks of data, Boise minus 15. So 15.36. So really, I guess Boise has played a little bit better as of late than they have for the full season. But man, last week was rough. They didn't look very good against Nevada, right? The San Jose State offense, I think, can have some success here. They throw the ball the sixth most in the country, 62.5%, which is not what you would have expected from a Ken Niumatalola offense. Of course, he came over from Navy, and Craig Stutzman is... there you go, right there. Craig Stutzman is the offensive coordinator, and he's done some crazy stuff with this offense. They keep swapping out quarterbacks. He's driving me crazy, but I trust him in this spot. San Jose State is number 22 in PPA margin. Boise is number 13. Boise, there's a more drastic split with Boise. Number 4 on offense as far as PPA per drive. Number 70 on defense. On the other side, San Jose State, number 47 on offense. Number 30 on defense. So you got a team that's like pretty good at everything. And then a team in Boise that's bad on one part and good at the other. This Boise defense, number 98 in yards per pass attempt allowed, number 108 in QBR allowed. That is the strength of San Jose State's team, is throwing the football. So I think they're going to be able to put up points here. Also, on the other side, the San Jose State defense is actually pretty good against the run. Number 20 in PPA allowed per rush. Boise is number 3 on offense. Yards per rush, Boise is number 1. And San Jose State is number 34. I think San Jose State hangs in this game. I know that my number says otherwise. And I know that we're talking about a big talent difference and all that kind of stuff, but the scheme that San Jose State plays with, I actually really like. I think they are going to be able to generate some points here. They're number 14 in offensive explosiveness, and they're actually pretty decent at defending explosives. I think Boise might have some problems here. Seems like that time of the year, right? So let's do this. Give me San Jose State plus the 13.5. That's the best number that's out there right now. I feel fairly decent about it. Right quick, if you've not already, please subscribe to the channel, like the video, all that fun stuff. We certainly appreciate you doing that. Thanks to all of our sponsors, of course, and don't forget to check out bettingcfb.com. That is the membership site, $5 a month, $50 for the year. That would help us out tremendously. Of course, Ticket Smarter, Go Sleeves, Three Dog Thursday. You guys know what's up. You guys know. Moving along to the next game. We've got 5 more games. Big 12 action. Kansas State hosts Arizona State. And this line kind of surprised me. Kansas State minus 8.5 at home, total of 49.5 on this. Arizona State probably going to be without the running back, Cam Scataboo. My number has Kansas State minus 8.92. My spread based on the last 4 weeks has got Kansas State minus almost 11, 10.95 on this. And you can see it right up there at the top. My number likes the over. I don't trust my totals so far this year, but we'll see. As far as PPA margin, you're looking at two top 25 teams. Arizona State is number 24 in raw PPA. Kansas State is number 15 on this. Arizona State, pretty good in the trenches, but they're not great, right? Number 65 in offensive line yards allowed. Kansas State is number 26 in that spot. Stuff rate, number 60 for Arizona State. The Kansas State offensive line is number 71, but you're looking at everything else too. Number 14 in PPA per rush, number 32 in that metric on defense for Arizona State. On the other side, Arizona State wants to run the ball too. Now, granted, they're going to be probably down. I think he's questionable. He didn't play last week, but Cam Scataboo, I think, means a lot to this team. Didn't mean a lot last week when they were blocking punts and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think you're going to have that kind of success against Kansas State, who is number 11 in special teams efficiency. Arizona State is number 128 in that spot there. So Arizona State, actually the significantly more talented team as far as the 247 talent composite, but that's neither here nor there. So looking at this, I think Sam Levitt could have some success against this secondary, but the Kansas State secondary has gotten better throughout the season. If Arizona State tries to run the ball, this is going to be a problem. They're number 16 in PPA per rush. Obviously, that looks good. They're only number 55 in yards per rush. And part of this is because they run the ball the 22nd most in the country, over 58.5% of the time. Kansas State is number 9 in PPA allowed per rush, number 11 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 18 in offensive line yards allowed, number 12 in stuff rate. And they're good at stopping you early. Number 18 on standard downs PPA, number 15 in standard down success. These two teams are relatively close, but man, when you really dive into the matchups, I like Kansas State here. I think Kansas State at home, it's getting towards the end of the year. They are 7-2 on the season so far, but only 3-6 against the spread. Arizona State 7-2, but they are 7-2 against the spread. I think there's a reason why this number is as big as it is. I think Kansas State wins by double digits, because they do all the stuff that Arizona State's doing, only better. So Kansas State minus 8.5 is the play. Oregon goes to Wisconsin. This is game number 17. Hey, look, Camp Randall at night, that's supposed to be like a huge deal. Right now, Oregon favored by 14.5 on the road here. My number has it 18.74 in favor of Oregon. My number based on the last 4 weeks of stats has Oregon minus 26.7. Oregon likes to play with their food sometimes. So maybe that's how you get a cover and whatnot. But when you start looking at overall stuff, like maybe Wisconsin can run the ball on this Oregon defensive line. Maybe. Oregon is number 77 in offensive line yards allowed, number 113 in stuff rate. On the other side, though, I mean, it's just Oregon is going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to throw the ball. They can do whatever they want to here. Like, they're not super concerned with what their efficiency numbers look like. There's a reason why they are 10-0, but they're 5-5 against the spread, right? Wisconsin is 5-4, but they are 3-6 against the spread. There's reasons for this. As far as overall efficiency, you start really diving into the numbers and start looking at talent, et cetera. You've got Oregon at number 2 in five factors plus talent rank. You have got Wisconsin at number 46. It's just a huge difference. Oregon number 9 in PPA margin, Wisconsin number 79. The number has come down enough for me to feel somewhat confident in taking Oregon. You can find a 14 at ESPN Bet right now. So I would recommend that. I like Oregon to cover, even on the road, in Camp Randall. I think that they come out and score early. That's one thing that we can point at. First half point margin, Oregon, number 3 in the country, outscoring their opponents by almost 14 points in the first half. Wisconsin is number 36, but I'm going to trust Oregon much more there. So that is the way that we're going to do it. Give me Oregon to cover 14, even in Camp Randall at night. Next up, we got an SEC and a Conference USA battle. New Mexico State goes to Texas A&M. Currently, A&M favored by 38.5 at home with a total of 54.5. This one has come down. A&M was favored by 40.5. My number on this has A&M by 34. I don't know why the analytics like New Mexico State. And it's not just mine. It's across the board because this thing has been bet down quite a bit. A&M has got a couple more conference games to go before they wrap things up. Obviously, the last they've got this week, they've got next week at Auburn, and then they play Texas. So they've got bigger fish to fry. So maybe that's what's going on. But 38.5 is the consensus that's out there. You look at the PPA margin, number 47, number 125 for New Mexico State. So that's not great. Available yards margin, success rates, just all of it. Everything skews towards Texas A&M. Even the special teams efficiency, which New Mexico State typically has the advantage in, they're number 14 in the country. A&M is number 7. It's a Mike Elko team. They are well coached. Turnover margin, number 133 for New Mexico State. Yeah, that ain't good. Like this, number 133. They're dead last or second to last in takeaways per game. They're number 117 in giveaways per game. There's no way that New Mexico State wins this game. This is not like them going to Auburn last year when they had Diego Pavia and all that. However, I think with these games coming up for Texas A&M, the fact that they still control their destiny as far as making it to the SEC championship game, I'm going to take New Mexico State, and there is a 39.5 at Caesars right now. So, New Mexico State plus 39.5 on this. My spread based on the last 4 weeks has A&M minus 20. So, New Mexico State playing a little bit better. All that good stuff. We got two more games. Let's carry on. Iowa State hosts Cincinnati. Iowa State is currently an 8.5-point favorite with a total of 53.5 on this one. Very interesting. Very, very interesting spot here. 8.5 feels like a lot. I've got Iowa State by 9.68, but based on the last 4 weeks, I've got it under a touchdown. I've got Iowa State by about 6.5 points. Iowa State had 45 hung on them by Kansas last week. Cincinnati cannot do what Kansas does. Point blank. Their offense is not nearly as good. They can throw the ball. Iowa State is pretty good against the pass. The issue with the game plan last week for Kansas is they're basically, we talked a lot about Alabama's dink and bomb offense, where few short passes here and there, and then they just chunk it down the field. With Kansas, it is a run and bomb. They run this way with Devin Neal. They run that way with Jalen Daniels. And then they throw it, 40 yards down the field. His average ADOT last week against Iowa State was like over 19 yards per pass. That is just absolutely absurd. Cincinnati's not going to do that. Like, Brendan Sorsby has not been playing great as of yet. He's not been playing great as of late. So that's a bit of a concern here. But I still think that Cincinnati is better than what they've looked recently. I mean, they gave away that game last week. That was just an utter abomination. So I think that I think things regress a little bit. Iowa State is still a pretty good team, even though they've lost two in a row. Cincinnati, yeah, they got beat last week, but I still think they're a little bit better. I'm going to tend to trust the most recent number that has Iowa State by a little over 6. And there is a 10 out here with Cincinnati at ESPN Bet. So I will take Cincinnati plus the 10 to keep this thing relatively close. I think their offense is still pretty good. I think the defense is still pretty good. This one's going to be a tight one. I feel good about it. Welcome to the Big 12. You guys know what's up. Last game. Let's talk about it. Mountain West Conference. UNLV hosts San Diego State. Currently, UNLV is a 20.5-point favorite. UNLV opened as a 19.5-point favorite. So there has been love for the Rebels coming in here. Good stuff. Very, very good stuff. So, looking at the numbers. Number 34 in PPA margin on the season. Number 105 for San Diego State. My number has UNLV by 19.78. Based on the last 4 weeks, it's got UNLV minus 16.5, maybe a touch over 16.5. I think this thing might get up to 21. If it does, that I would recommend San Diego State much more at 21. I think that this Flash Tech offense is starting to figure some things out. Their year-long analytics still do not look very good. Number 110 in PPA per pass. They're number 113 in yards per attempt. Number 107 in QBR. They are number 112 in yards per rush. Number 89 rush rate. They are number 126 in rushing success. But they are explosive. I believe Cooper is the running back's name. Number 42 in rushing explosiveness. And that is an issue for UNLV, who is number 122 in that metric. Offensive line yards and whatnot. San Diego State's actually fairly decent. Number 64 in that metric. They're number 20 in stuff rate allowed. You're looking at good average field position, like all these different things. UNLV has bigger things to worry about than San Diego State. But I think that San Diego State's going to be able to score enough points to stay in this game. So while the number has gotten out there, like I said, I would recommend waiting for a 21 if you can get there. But for the sake of the show, we'll go ahead and take San Diego State plus 20.5. I think they stay pretty close in this game. That's what I'm guessing. Still, they'll stay pretty, pretty close. So, all right, let's recap it. Let's get through this. Let's see what we got. We are taking Northwestern plus 28.5. We like Texas minus 13.5. Pitt plus 10.5 against Clemson. Auburn minus 23.5. Marshall minus 8.5. Illinois minus 2.5. Cal minus 8.5. Penn State minus 28.5. Florida plus 4.5, Stanford plus 21, Air Force plus 4, Nebraska plus 9, James Madison minus 2.5, Rutgers plus 6, San Jose State plus 13.5, Kansas State minus 8, Oregon minus 14, New Mexico State plus 39.5, Cincy plus 10, San Diego State plus 20.5. That is going to wrap things up for us. You guys have been fantastic. I certainly appreciate you watching every single week. Keep on doing that. Share the show out. Tell your friends about it, all that good stuff. Tell your family members and subscribe on podcast and on everything else. That would certainly help me out. Don't forget to check out Three Dog Thursday. I don't think I'm going to make it, but TJ will have somebody doing it. Subscribe, of course, and like the video. Subscribe to the channel and the thumbs up. Hit that like button for me. Don't forget about the BetUS College Football Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a link in the description for that one. And, of course, if you like the spreadsheets, if you like the stat sheets, the previews and whatnot, bettingcfb.com. That helps me out tremendously. $5 a month, $50 for the year. I think that's going to do it. You guys are awesome. I appreciate all of you for spending a little bit of your time with me. Let's wrap this thing up. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast.